Father Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day you have given us. Thank you for the rain that we have received yesterday. We are praying for those places like Cape Town, that Lord, you may bless them too with such a wonderful blessing of the rain. We pray for those who are not feeling well, Lord, that you may touch them. Those who have lost their loved ones, Lord, that Lord, you may comfort their heart. We pray for your word, the Lord, that will speak to us. And the Lord, we believe that the Lord is sharper than anything. Then we believe, Lord, that is able to change men's hearts. And we pray that, Lord, when we have heard it, we become the doers of your word, not only listeners. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing with the book of Acts, and today we'll be looking at chapter 2, verse 14 to 21. The last scenario, as we have been looking at the book of Acts, we saw that the apostles and the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in different languages of the people who were around. And there were two questions that were left there to be answered, because there was a confusion of what was happening. Some were amazed when we look at chapter 2, verse 12. And at verse 13, we saw that some were mocking and saying they were drunk. The gospel needs to be explained so that people can understand. Otherwise, when it's not explained clearly, people will have a different and we may take a wrong perception of the gospel. And this is what the situation is now. Peter wants to clarify what was going on. And from verse 14 to 16, we are told that he stood up with some of the apostles, the 11 that were there. And he started to answer the question in a reverse form. He started to address the issue of being drunk. Listen what he's saying. He said, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give an ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose." Why is Peter saying these people were not drunk? When we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible tells us that people were drunk in the evening. At this hour at 9 a.m., it was improper for people to be drunk, because Jews, they eat only after 9. And the day began at 6 a.m. And Peter tells them that because you are familiar with this culture, it is impossible for the people to be drunk. So what was going on? When we read verse 15, it is saying it's only a third hour, meaning from 6 to 9, the people were not supposed to be drunk by that time, because even if they were being drunk in the evening, they were only having a hangover by that time. But he say, this is what the prophet Joel has spoken about. And what was the prophet of Joel saying? Let's check at verse 17 to 20. What was the prophet Joel saying? The fulfillment of the prophecies. Joel, he has spoken to the people of Israelites that God was going to bring a judgment unless they repent. Because the people have gone away, they follow other ways. And judgment was coming, and God was going to send the locust for that judgment. And Peter is saying, you must know that in the last days, as the Lord has declared, I will pour out my spirit. He had used the term in the last days. Joel has used afterwards. Meaning, when the last days approaches, there's gonna be some events after the last days. If you read it, Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2, Micah chapter 4 verse 1 is tell us about the day of the Lord. What will happen in the day of the Lord? And the prophets were looking forward to the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord came when Jesus Christ was born, the first advent. And it's going to be completed when God comes again. That will be the last day, the judgment day. So we are living in the era of the last days. So Peter is saying, in those last days, you know that when the Lord comes, Jesus has said, you must stay in Jerusalem. And when you stay in Jerusalem, don't move out until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, you shall be witnesses of God. And saying, this is the events of the last days. Let's check what he is saying about the last days, the event of the last days. He said, I will pour my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. The Old Testament tells us that the prophets and rabbis were the people who were able to prophesy when the Spirit of God guided them. For God, when he wants them to tell the people his will, what he wanted. But in the last days, the office is no more only for the prophets, but the Spirit will come on all flesh. The Spirit will come to the sons and daughters. When Moses was leading the Israelites, in Numbers chapter 11, verse 29, he said, how I wish all the people of God will be filled with the Spirit of God. And Peter is saying, this is the time where all the prophets were looking for. This is the era where the Spirit of God will no more be on the prophets and the rabbis, but will be on all people. What is prophecy meaning? Because that word will come twice in the same verse. People in the Old Testament, they saw prophecy as foretelling. But the base and the core of prophecy was declaration or proclamation of the good news of God. A pastor is called a prophesier because he speaks the counsel of God. He's declaring the truth of God. He reveals the fully counsel or what's the word of God need to be known to the people. He himself has to be a person who speaks on God's behalf. That is prophecy. It's no more about seeing things that are coming. It's no more about able to have some vision, but it's to declare the truth of God. So when someone speaks on behalf of God, a preacher, that man is foretelling the good news of God. So this is the prophecy that Peter was telling about, saying the sons and daughters will have the truth of God. Sons and daughters would be proclaimers of the word of God. Verse 18, he tells us that male servants and female servants in those days will receive the Holy Spirit, and them too will able to prophesy. People of the low status, especially slaves, they were looked down upon. There were people who were not recognized in communities, especially in the Jews. But when the Spirit of God comes, we see that there will be, also the Spirit will be poured to those of lower standard. What does it mean to us this? It means that the gift of the Spirit is no more entitled to those who think they own the things of the church. But the Spirit of God has come to all people so that all people will know the good news of God. Why they have to know the good news of God? Because God in the beginning had an idea, had that will that every person must worship him. Every person must have part in the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible tells us that it doesn't want any, each and every person to perish, but all to come to the kingdom of God. It is no more for the Jews. It is no more for the rabbis. It is no more for the prophets. It is no more for the kings, but it's for all the nations to know the kingdom of God and the truth of the gospel of God. We are told that there will be events, as we are being told that in verse 19, there will be wonders in heaven above, and there will be signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. When you look in Joel, Joel doesn't mention signs. He mentions wonders. But Peter points out that there will be signs on earth and below, and there will be blood and fire and vapor and smoke. Why he points out that there will be signs? We remember that when Jesus was on earth, he performed wonders. Those who were blind were able to see. Those who were mute, they were able to speak, because he was the king. He had come to set the kingdom of God. He had come to set people free. And Peter mentions that there will be signs. You remember when Jesus was crucified? Something happened that has never happened on earth. During the day, the sun appeared to be dark. There was darkness on earth. That was the sign for the kingdom that has already come. And they are saying, writers, in the afternoon, the full moon was covered in a reddish because of the effect of what has happened. That were the signs that the last days have already come, and we are already in the last days. Listen what he said. He said there will be blood and fire and vapor and smoke. Some have taken that the blood is when Jesus was crucified, and the fire means when there was this red, the moon becoming red, and the vapor smoke when Jesus was taken up. I don't know whether I can go that route. But what I've taken is that the vapor, the blood, the fire, and the vapor smoke is the language of war. Then when war comes, all that happens there. Because Jesus has already come to declare war on the kingdom of darkness. And that leads us towards the judgment day. That leads us towards the coming of the Lord in the second coming of him. Let us look at verse 20, what he says. He said, "The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes." And in verse 21, he say, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let us look back at verse 20, just a little bit. He say, all these things will happen before the day of the Lord comes. We have already seen that what has happened in the event of the crucifixion of Jesus. And the writer Peter wants to emphasize that all these things will be seen, all these things will be experienced before the day of the Lord comes. And he wants them to be aware that these things are taking place so that the readers and those who are there listening to him, they might be aware that the day of the Lord is approaching. So what is necessary when the day of the Lord is approaching? Let's look at verse 21, the gospel at hand. What is really needed? You say the only thing that is needed is that men must call upon the name of the Lord. And those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. What is the meaning of calling upon the name of the Lord? Calling upon the name of the Lord was to approach God in worship and to seek his mercy. when we read Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. And when we read again Genesis chapter 12, verse 8, we are told that a man went astray. But during the birth of Seth, the Bible tells us that a man began to call upon the name of the Lord. That a man began to worship God as he was created. That a man began to seek his mercies because he is the Lord. And Ingrid was telling us that there is no other name that has been given to us. There is only one name that has been given. We can have all the names that the world has given us. We can all have all these names that people have claimed they are powerful. They are powerful in healing. They are powerful in giving money. They are powerful in doing all the other things. But there is only one name that has been given. And that only name is found in the Bible, the Holy Scripture, where we know the will of God. And that name comes salvation for all who call upon them. Imagine God has given us a grace. We have wronged him, but through his mercy, he had died for our sins, calling us back to him. He offered that instead of judgment, I'm giving you grace. And that name is Jesus Christ, the only King. What does it say to us, this prophecy that has been given through Joel? Joel was looking forward to a day when all the prophecies will be fulfilled. And he's saying, you know what? The day has already approached and we are living on the last days. Because Christ has already come. The Spirit has already been poured. And you have heard the gospel in your own language. The only thing that is left for you to escape judgment is to call upon the name. And as you call upon the name, there is always a need for you to continue to proclaim the gospel. Because the gospel in Isaiah says, no one will repent unless people they preach to them. No one will understand unless we have those who proclaim it. No one will understand unless there's someone who will explain the good news. So what is the meaning to us this morning? Unless we speak out for the gospel so people can understand the things of God, no one would. And the message of the power of the gospel will be watered down by people if we don't stand for it. And another thing, there is no other name we are saved unless it only comes from God, and that name is Jesus Christ. In conclusion for us this morning, if we claim that we are believers, we come every day to church, we are faithful, we are always on time, we are good Calvinists, and we even proud that we preach the real gospel. The question may be, are we proclaiming the gospel of Christ where we live? That would be the question. And if so, the gospel encourages us today that we keep on proclaiming, because there is no other name that a person can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord be with you.